We're back, baby.
We are back
for another episode of News from the Queue. I am Paul from Destination Geek, and I am joined by
Senor Eddie from Eddietainment.
And do you know what we're here to talk about? We are here to talk about For Fulton, Forbidden Turn, now that one of us has finally ridden it. For Fulton, Forbidden Turn is now open at Busch Gardens Williamsburg. We are going to talk at length about our experience on the VIP night before opening. We'll talk about a past member preview, which is when you got to ride it, Eddie. Yep. And, you know, just kind of talk about our thoughts on the ride, and how we got to experience it. You've probably seen the videos on our channel, but if you haven't, check out, we'll have them linked at the end of this and in the show notes. Definitely check out our experiences from the weekend. Lots of fun stuff. We actually filmed a couple of videos there, including a very special episode of News from the Queue. This will drop before that. But in that episode, we are going to try every restaurant at Busch Gardens Williamsburg.
Major restaurant.
Rank them. Yeah, every major restaurant. No, none of the grab and goes or anything like that. But literally the rest, if you go to Busch Gardens website, there are four things that are classified as restaurants. And I'm not going to spoil it here because we talked about it in that video. But we check out each one. We rank our favorite dishes, show you some good food, have a lot of laughs. That will be a special video only episode of News from the Queue. So if you are listening to this on your favorite podcast provider, go to YouTube, check out Destination Geek or Eddietainment on YouTube, because then you'll be able to see the episode. Because it's hard to kind of do that one audio to see the food, but definitely check us out on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed to my channel. As you can see here on the screen is the information on Destination Geek, where to find me. And Eddie, you want to say where people can find you?
Yes, sir. So on YouTube, Eddietainment straight up, and then everywhere else, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Eddietainment1. And we had a blast on that video, so make sure to check it out. I don't think I've had a better time and a longer time at the park than that video.
We'll get into this, but we were in the park from 11:30 until 9 o'clock that night, which is the longest time I have spent at that park in years, maybe ever. I don't know that I've ever been at the park from almost opening to close.
Our event was after hours, which leads perfectly.
That's true.
What we're talking about, right? Because this,
yeah,
this video
exactly
led into the Verbolten VIP event, which I gotta say, there was disappointment to a degree. I'm sure, Paul, you're on your end a little bit more than others, but from a kudos perspective, I gotta give them kudos for, in a bad situation, making the most of it. I couldn't have asked for a better compensation prize, which we'll talk about. I'm not going to jump directly into it, but they definitely made up for the shortcomings of the event, and I had a great time. Paul, did they make up for you at least amply?
Yes, I will say, we're kind of, this is our foreshadowing of what's coming later in the video, in this episode, is that on the media / VIP day, we were not able to ride For Fulton, Forbidden Turn, but the consolation prize in retrospect was better than being able to ride the ride, I would say. In the moment, Eddie can tell you, I was like not a happy camper, and a number of other content creators were not as well, because a lot of folks flew in with only the ability to attend that event, and so not being able to ride the ride was a big disappointment. But again, I won't say everyone had the same consolation prize we did, and we'll go into that here in a second. So I'm going to tell you that story. But before we go into that, let's talk a little bit about breaking news as at the time we record this podcast. Six Flags Fiesta Texas out in San Antonio, Texas, announced a brand new roller coaster coming to their park. And we don't normally talk about Six Flags parks here. We'd love to, but we're kind of, Eddie doesn't live near one. I live near a few, but haven't been so far this season. But we will definitely get into Six Flags news and stuff, in this podcast and future episodes.
Correction. The closest park to my house is Six Flags Park.
King's Dominion. That's right. I forgot King's Dominion is Six Flags Park. Never mind what I just said. But Six Flags Fiesta Texas turns 35 next year. And what they announced for their 35th anniversary season is a brand new roller coaster, Werewolf Gorge. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about Werewolf Gorge in relation to this is obviously big news with Verbolten opening this weekend. Six Flags Werewolf Gorge is the world's longest family launch roller coaster. The world's longest family launch roller coaster is how they're advertising it. Now, how does that relate to Verbolten? Well, Verbolten, they call it a drop coaster.
Yeah.
Because there's fewer drop coasters than there are launch coasters, but I would actually kind of consider it a bit of both. While Verbolten has a drop, it also has multiple launches. So I would almost call it a bit of a launch coaster as well. And I would call it a family coaster. I would definitely call Verbolten a family coaster.
It's on the higher height requirement of a family coaster, but it doesn't go upside down, doesn't go crazy fast, just goes fast enough. And I think some people would assume that it maybe isn't, just because of the dark sections feel a little bit extreme, but they're really not. Definitely a family coaster. I think it's a comparable, and maybe even not necessarily the same, but more comparable to, as far as the family aspect, to like a Big Bad Wolf.
Yeah, agreed. I would consider, in my mind, and I'm sure there's, I don't know that there's definitions out there. You prize might have definitions, and leave us a comment down below if there's a strict definition of what a family coaster is. I don't think there's rules about how to quantify a family coaster, but in my mind, you're considered a family coaster to me based on speed, based on height, not height requirements, based on literal height of the ride, and based on whether it has a loop or not, right? Yeah. And so, for example, Millennium Force in Cedar Point does not have loops, but it is a I think it's a giga coaster, because it is long and it has speeds up to, I think, 80 miles an hour or something crazy like that. So even though it doesn't have a loop, I don't consider it a family coaster. I consider Verbolten a family coaster because it stays relatively close to the ground other than the final drop. And speeds, I think, up to 53 miles an hour. Giga coaster is what Millennium Force is. Millennium Force goes 93 miles an hour. I don't consider that a family coaster, despite not having loops. So I think, in my mind, there's a couple of criteria. So that's why I consider Verbolten a family coaster. But anyway, that's why I wanted to mention Werewolf Gorge, because they just announced it's coming in 2027. First of all, in addition to being a family coaster, it also has a horror theme. We've got werewolves, right? It is the world's longest family launch coaster. I'm going to read some specs to you. And the longest roller coaster in that park's history. It stretches 4,120 feet, delivers an exhilarating 2-minute, 36-second adventure featuring four launches, speeds up to 45 miles per hour, and the highest number of floater airtime elements ever incorporated into a family coaster. There are 32 floater airtime moments as part of this coaster where you feel weightless. Near-miss moments with towering werewolf figures and immersive scenic elements, kind of like the Velociraptors and the Velocicoaster, and a climactic finale through a crumbling quarry structure filled with shadowy movements and glowing eyes, similar to kind of the special effects in Verbolten. The attraction features a fully realized environment that extends beyond the ride itself. Again, much like Verbolten, with the queue experience, immersing guests from arrival to exit. As part of the Jasper Bunyan's roadside attraction, you'll experience themed queue spaces, including the Museum of Cryptids and the Werewolf Museum, adding depth, humor, and world building to the overall experience. This sounds so incredibly up my alley. I will absolutely be venturing out to Six Flags Fiesta Texas when this ride opens in 2027. This is literally like a ride made for me, much like for Bolton.
Yeah. And I like you, it's funny because you messaged me this morning, super early in the morning. Paul and I wake up super early, by the way.
And when you're old, you wake up early. I probably wake up earlier than Eddie. So sorry if I wake you up with my
text. No, you didn't wake me up. I was already up editing a video for YouTube. But
I try to wait till after 7.
Yeah. But that's a perfect time. But the interesting part to me about this is all the things going on behind the scenes for Six Flags, right? This is a ride that, with the announcement on its face, seems spectacular, right? But one of the big interesting parts about this announcement is the fact that Six Flags Fiesta Texas lost its park president, Jeffrey Siebert. And this was actually one of his last projects that he was working on.
Oh,
right.
Jeff.
Yeah. Sorry. And with, I know, right?
Looks good.
It's one, but not just that. It's one of the parks that's always been helmed as one of the best Six Flags parks out of the whole entire chain.
Really?
Yeah. And with the loss of its park president, and now Six Flags kind of realigning who has park presidents, the assumption is the 10 that got park presidents are the focus, and they're the priority parks, and the ones that don't have park presidents are not. And a lot of people are speculating that that might mean they're just preparing to see who gets the axe, right? This park lost its park president, and now it gets this major announcement. Makes me wonder, and not to be negative, makes me wonder, the initial budget that was budgeted for this roller coaster, when I feel like they had to move forward with it because it was probably already paid for partially. Does any of that start to get drawn back as the construction goes? Because
yeah, I don't know.
The animatronics and all that stuff. I heard somebody make a comparison to Hagrid's, which I think is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, I would say I don't think. So first of all, this is not announced to have a drop element. I would say this is probably, to your point, Eddie, a bit more like the Big Bad Wolf, because the Big Bad Wolf has these experiential elements as part of the ride too, right? It's got the village with the beer barrels and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'd say where the Big Bad Wolf would be, the thing about the Big Bad Wolf for me, right, is that in the concept of the Big Bad Wolf, you are the wolf. So, you know, you don't get to see the wolf elements in the ride. You just get to see the village that you're attacking. Whereas in Werewolf Gorge, I don't know, maybe there are more werewolves, because it mentions specifically werewolf statues as part of the ride. Now, keep in mind, it's a 39-inch height requirement. You mentioned the height requirements earlier.
That's got to be the lowest height I've seen for a family coaster. Even Big Bad Wolf is 42 inches.
Yeah, so it's not going to be extreme, but the fact that it has as many airtime elements as it says, I think it'll be a lot of fun. I am very, very interested. My ears have perked up. Six Flags Fiesta Texas, full disclosure, not on my radar. It sounds like it was on yours. You know, you had heard it was such a great, you had heard it was a great park. I'm not familiar with it. I've been to Six Flags Over Texas, the one in Dallas area. Because, you know, I've been to the Superman Drop Tower, and I think the Mr. Freeze coaster is there. That's amazing, that Mr. Freeze coaster. But I've never really checked out what Six Flags Fiesta Texas is all about. But Eddie, I'm going to ask you on the mics. We going to San Antonio in 2027?
Yes, sir. I'm 100% for it. My parents live there, so I already told you we could go get some good Cuban food on our trip. Maybe make a follow-up visit to Universal if we get a rental, you know.
Oh, that's true. We can go ride all the small height requirement rides at a Universal Kids Resort. They have a coaster too, right? They've got a Jurassic Park coaster.
Yeah, they got a couple things, and we could play in the jungle gyms or whatever, you know, not look too weird, but
we could spray each other with water guns. I don't know.
I'd be down 100%. And I think this coaster, you know, regardless of what I just said, those are just concerns given the circumstances, external circumstances outside of that park. But this coaster, on the face of it, sounds spectacular. And I didn't read into the like media email too much, but I believe there's also animatronics, right?
It says werewolf statues. It does not specifically reference animatronics that I can see, but we shall see. I think it's going to be, I'm excited. And, you know, again, I brought it up in the context of family coasters because we're about to talk about For Bolton, and, you know, you may have different opinions on it. A lot of people have very different opinions on For Bolton. Yeah, I released my some content over the weekend, over this past weekend, and you know, some of the comments are still kind of complaining about the fact that they took away the Big Bad Wolf, and I'm like, I mean, that was when did this open? 2009? Like, you know, it's I'm gonna say it here. I love you guys. I love everyone who watches our channels. And, you know, 2012, it's time to get over it. Big Bad Wolf has not been there in 13 years. Yeah. It's time. It's time to accept that Verbolten is on that terrain. And yes, I know it doesn't take as much advantage of the terrain as Big Bad Wolf did, but I would. But what one of the things I will say about Verbolten, the ride hasn't, you know, like the track hasn't changed, the track layout hasn't changed, is that if you actually take a second and you're not just bitter about Big Bad Wolf not being there, both before and after the show building, mostly after the show building, there. It actually does take advantage of that terrain, right? You actually do go, you know, sweeping over the hills. You obviously take the big drop towards the Rhine River, which is the big thing that Big Bad Wolf had too. And, you know, so it very much keeps the spirit of that ride alive. And so I think Verbolten is an excellent roller coaster, even before the changes. But with these changes, I think it's even more so. I think a lot of people, I saw a number of comments that were asking about like introducing this more fantastic, humorous element rather than the more horror-based element of the original. I would say I feel like in the new theme of Verbolten, it keeps the spooky aspects. It introduces this magical element and it doesn't really miss a beat because I think that humor was always there. You know, I think it may have been a little bit more subtle in the original with Goethe and Gunther, but I think, you know, if you ever watched the Goethe and Gunther Schwarzwald videos, you know, before the ride, there was always an element of humor there. It's just a little bit more prevalent now. But anyway, yeah. Eddie.
Before we jump into that, I just want to say one line about the Fiesta Texas Park. And Paul, I think this would actually get you a little bit more interested in this particular park. If you haven't been to Six Flags Fiesta Texas, which I haven't been either, but the reason why I've been wanting to go is because I've done a little bit of research into it. If you're a dark ride fan, go check out a POV of the line queue for Pirates of the Deep Sea.
Pirates of the Deep Sea. Okay.
That's the ride why I want to go over there. I'm a fan of dark rides. I think you are as well. And this is a Six Flags park that incorporates this really well. So I'm excited to go check out that new coaster next year with you and then fit this into the lineup as well. You heard it here first, folks. We're going
Six Flags Texas coming 2027. So let's talk a little bit about our day at Busch Gardens. So Eddie, like we mentioned, Eddie and I got to Busch Gardens around 11:30. As of the time you're listening this, very soon, coming to Destination Geek, there will be a POV of every roller coaster, both on our TikTok and on our YouTube, of every roller coaster at Busch Gardens Williamsburg. I had not had one. There was one roller coaster I did not have a POV of, and that was Tempesto, and largely because I'm not a Tempesto fan. So we started our day with a POV of Tempesto. You know, I convinced Eddie to ride with me. Eddie, what happened?
We're going up on the first spike. For whoever knows Tempesto, it goes up a couple times before it makes its full loop to get momentum, and my wallet came flying out of my back pocket. Not a great start to the day, but I didn't let it ruin our day.
No, Eddie stayed. I will say, Eddie, you know, just a little, and you'll see this when we show our in our food video that's coming up. I gotta say, on the mics, you know, because I want it on the record, Eddie is one of the most positive, good-natured people you will ever meet, because dude lost his wallet to start the day and still found time to spend the rest of the day eating with me and then calming me down when we weren't able to ride for Bolton that night. Dude definitely had a lot to deal with that day, and he's a good dude. So I want to make sure that you all know that it's not all an act. He is a good dude. Because he lost his wallet 5 minutes after we got into the park. Yes. and just straight up pivoted to Apple Pay.
Thank God for Apple Pay, right? Thank God for payment. I wonder, in this circumstance, back in the day when all these technological advances didn't exist, how people moved forward. Their day would be ruined, like truly ruined. You couldn't get past, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it sucked, but it didn't really hinder our day too much.
No. And so we started the day that way. We rode Tempesto. We did food stuff all day. And just a little bit of full disclosure, you know, again, thank you to Busch Gardens Williamsburg for inviting us both out to the event that day. We genuinely had a great time. There were originally two events planned that day, and this is no secret. There were originally two events planned that day. There was a media event in the afternoon, followed by a VIP event that evening. There were some early indications that maybe there were some technical concerns in that the media event for the afternoon was canceled a few days before, but you know, there was anticipation that we would still be able to ride the ride at the VIP event. And so, you know, but we had already planned to be there. So we just made the best of our day. We, you know, we got to roam around the park. We got to try the sample all the restaurants. We'll talk about that here. We had a lot of fun. And then we pivoted to the VIP event around 6:30. And just, you know, I don't tend to show this stuff on my channel. You'll get this experience. You'll get to see more of the media event checking out Eddie's channel, Eddietainment, on YouTube than you will Destination Geek. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just, you tend to show that stuff and I don't tend to for some reason. I don't know. Just maybe because I was in panic mode and you were in happy and you were doing good. So, you know, that the meet, just to kind of give a little bit of information, you know, the VIP event, they had a live band, the Broken Turnstiles, that were there. Just, you know, food and beverage, you know, and it wasn't just content creators. There were, the VIP event also included people who worked on the ride, you know, the designers, you know, shout out to the designers of the ride, because, you know, we got to spend some time with them and just really, really generous, passionate people. And that's one thing I do want to say about, you know, the folks that we met, and you'll see them in both of our videos. You saw them in our hard hat tour. Eddie, I'm blanking on the name.
Richard
Smith.
Yep.
Like, that's a hard name to forget. like Richard Smith, it doesn't come much easier than that. But Richard Smith, you know, you saw him in both of our hard hat tour videos. Dude is very passionate about the ride, you know, and he spent some time with us kind of talking about Easter eggs. You can tell he is very excited about, you know, the additions that he made. He also worked on, and just to kind of give a little bit of information, even though I don't recall him being part of the tours of these previous rides, he also worked on the revamp of the Loch Ness Monster and worked on the Big Bad Wolf. So if you're noticing a trend in thematic elements, elevated cues, storylines, Easter eggs, Richard Smith is the dude that is making that happen in these latest new rides coming to Busch Gardens. So that guy in Guernsey Tingle, I think it's the company that he works for.
Yeah. Don't quote me on that, but yeah, I think so.
Yeah. It's a weird name, but I think it's Guernsey Tingle is the company. And that's the dude that you want to thank for that, because that dude is bringing all of these enhanced queue elements. When you walk through that Loch Ness Monster queue and you see all these Easter eggs and this fun stuff that's in the ride, and you go into Big Bad Wolf and you see all these little story beats that lead up to the story of the ride, that's the crew, you know, that you want to be thankful for. You know, I think there are different people that actually designed the coaster themselves, but he's the one who brings the experiential elements to the ride. So, you know, but, and again, very passionate about it, and I loved that. I loved that he was familiar with the history of the ride. I loved that he was excited about the new storyline of the ride, and so it was really cool to spend time with him and his family and the entire crew that worked on that ride.
And he also gave us some insights into certain things that you would never hear, like the extremes they went to fit that tree into that building. If I remember correctly, I think he said the clearance is like a foot between the top of the tree and the actual top of the building.
That's true. Yeah. I think the tree, he said the height of the building is 43 feet. The tree is 42 feet. Yeah. And they to the point that they literally had to slide the top of the tree in sideways.
Yeah. They had to side load everything. So yeah, they went above and beyond. And honestly, that was one of the things that I was really interested in, is how are they going to fit this massive tree out? I was under the impression that this might just be a marketing promotion video and we're actually not going through the mouth of the tree, because I didn't know how they would.
We go through the mouth of the tree.
Right.
And it is impressive. It is so impressive.
Yeah. And to give a little bit of insight into the event, we had music, We even had park president Kevin Lemke
playing guitar.
The Broken Turnstiles are a really good cover band, so we got to hear some really cool music. We had food and wine items that we could test. Frau Hexel joined us.
Yeah, Frau Hexel joined us for a bit, and some of the stilt walkers that are in their Summer of Wonder attire joined us as well. Again, you'll see a lot of this on Eddie's channel, so definitely make sure to check that out. But I want to say, obviously, given the nature of the event, I come at it very selfishly, and like, I flew into town for this. I'm not going to be able to ride the ride, blah, 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 blah. But then I got over it. Largely, again, thanks to Eddie for that. But I want to really, give flowers to the Busch Gardens PR team, because that ride was not working. And they had a lot of us in town for that event. People who are literally sharing their experience, right?
Yeah.
In an online format or even television, and the thing doesn't work. But that being said, I will say, for anyone who is familiar with the history of that plot of land, it's always been that way. When the Big Bad Wolf first opened, they had Vincent Price in town for the opening of the Big Bad Wolf, and it did not work. Vincent Price, obviously classical actor, iconic actor, the ride did not work. He came back the next day to ride it, which is great for Vincent Price. But all these years later, 30 plus years later, it's still happening. But kudos to the Busch Gardens PR team, because they pivoted. Kevin Lemke, the park president, came out, and announced, hey, the ride would not be running today. But the consolation was that obviously we got to experience the queue, without lines. We got to walk through the queue. We got to, walk through the gift shop. And most importantly, we got to go into the show building, which maybe will be something that is featured on a future tour, in that, we got to go into the show building with the lights on and see it. But here's a little bit of insight. Right. So I just want to kind of share a story, Eddie.
Wait, let's build it up a little bit, because we were like the last tour also.
Yeah. That's what I want to say. That's what I want to build up. Okay. That's the story I want to build up. I want to share with you guys. So, obviously we've mentioned I live in Michigan now. I typically fly into Norfolk, Virginia, which is about 45 minutes from Busch Gardens, Williamsburg. I was flying in the night before and flying out the day after the media event. And so I get to the airport, and when I say the night before, 9 to 11, like, was my flight, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. I get to the airport, I get notification my flight's been delayed by 15 minutes. No big deal. I'm already going to be there late, right? Doesn't matter. Then I get a notification that my flight's going to be delayed by 520 minutes and would not come in and would not be leaving until 7 a.m. the next morning. And I'm like, what? So I go to the Delta counter, and they are able to find me a seat on a flight that goes into Richmond, which is the same distance, 45 minutes. So if you're out of state, you can fly into Norfolk or you can fly into Richmond. They're both 45 minutes if you're staying in Williamsburg, right? So they got me into Richmond, same time, same everything. So I got into Richmond, I got to my hotel, slept. Obviously we already mentioned that the media event in the afternoon was canceled. Then we're at the media event. I'm literally like eyeballing the queue to see when it opens. Like Eddie's just having a good time, having drinks, talking to people, being sociable. I'm like, when are they gonna let us in? Then they announced the thing, right? And then they're like, but we're gonna have tours. We're gonna have tours to go through the building. So me being the impatient one, I'm like, I want to be in tour group number one, right? So I'm like, tour group number one is clearly going to be this first one on the left, all right? Like, in my mind, I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? No, it was 1, 2, 3, 4. So I accidentally chose the last group to go into the building. And so it's just like piling on at this point, the things that are the adversity of this trip. And but that being said, because we were group four, by the time we were able to go into the show building, they were ready to start testing the ride. And this is something that, even if they do open up a tour, a coaster tour that goes into that building with lights on to see things. I think this is probably, unless you work there, a once in a lifetime experience that we got to have, which is that we got to go into the show building and actually watch the coaster running live with special effects, you know, lights off, special effects on, hear the music from the ground level. I don't think that's something that we would have ever gotten to experience if the night hadn't worked out the way it worked out.
No, and when I released my video for that day, I went and I did a premiere. So some people were chatting with me live, and a few people commented, I think this is almost better than if you actually would have ridden the ride. And I gotta agree with them. I don't think anybody's ever gonna get, like, I think whenever they do the behind the scenes tour, it's always lights on things, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're not running the coaster while you're on the behind the scenes tour, right? Like, that's not something that normally happens. And so it was just like, it was so serendipitous, even though it felt like adversity at the time, it was serendipitous that we got to experience that experience.
Yeah, yeah, it was awesome. And we got to observe the ride working with the special effects, but we also got to experience like how the blocks work for the coaster, because two trains were in the building at certain points
at the same time. Yeah,
and, which is very cool. If you guys aren't familiar, and I'm no specialist or connoisseur of coasters, I do love them, but the blocks allow for two trains to be on the coaster track at the same time, completely safe, because they will never cross into another block. But you got to see that working through as the special effects are going and everything. It was spectacular, and honestly, I'm so glad that it worked out that way. And you know, the whole entire time we thought we were getting the shortcomings, we were not getting to ride, we're the fourth tour group, and in hindsight, the fourth tour group was the best group to be part of.
Yeah.
And I mean, not just because me and Paul were in it.
But mostly because me and Eddie were in it. But no, it was so, you know, it just worked out, right? It worked out that we were able to experience that, because no other tour group did, right? The first three, we were four, tour group four, but there were like five groups that went before us because there were some like offshoot groups. And some groups were so large, they took them in chunks. So, you know, by the time we got in, we just truly got lucky that we were able to see what we did. We also got to spend additional time in the queue. We got to see the Frau Hexel. And so, yeah, we'll kind of get into that. But anyway, the show building, amazing, amazing experience. Very cool to see the elements in it. You know, and again, this is in retrospect. In the moment, it's hard to realize this, but in retrospect, for me, you know, being able to experience that, one, was better than actually riding the ride, because riding the ride it's a 2.5 minute experience that, yes, is cool, but at the same time, this is something I'll always remember. This experience is something I'll always remember. But I'll be able to ride for Bolton. You know, I will. So, spoilers, I have not ridden for Bolton Forbidden Turn yet, because I had to come back before the ride actually was open to rides on Friday. But
you experienced everything,
you know, but yeah, but I'll be able to ride it, right? I will be able to experience for Bolton in the way it's intended, you know, and have that experience that I was looking forward to that night. I will have it, and I'll have it many times. I'll ride for Bolton a ton of times. But this thing that happened is something I will not be able to experience again. So it worked out the way it needed to work out, right? So that's your positive, that's your silver linings playbook, and play of the day.
To Kevin Lemke's credit, he said he was still going to make this magical. He literally used those words. He caught himself when he was going to say, nobody's more disappointed than I am. And he said, well, actually, I'm not going to say that, because there probably is somebody that is more disappointed, and it was Paul.
Again, I had that like that look on my face.
And don't dare try to beat me in disappointment, Kevin. But he followed that up by saying that we are still going to make this magical. And in the moment, I didn't know how. I was really thinking, yeah, Kevin, I don't think you're gonna be able to top us riding. And he did. He did 100%. But we also got the opportunity before we went into the show building, since we were the last tour group, to walk through the queue while everybody else was walking through the actual show building. And mm-hmm. that was a unique experience in itself. Paul didn't get to ride the ride, but he got to do basically everything else that the ride offers, which a lot of the major super cool updates live in the queue. I think Frau Hexel and Broom, and then the screens and the load station are probably the most impressive elements that they've added to Verbolten outside of the tree. Obviously, the tree is the grand reveal.
Yeah, the tree is the grand reveal. And so, you know, before we get into the, because I want to hear about your experience on the ride, Eddie. But like the queue itself, the Frau Hexel animatronic is very impressive. The Broom animatronic is also very cool. When I saw Broom, he was sleeping. Eddie got to see him moving around. When I say sleeping, like literally, like he has like a number of different scenes, and one of them is him just taking a nap. Also, the safety video, if you're not, you know, like people usually just dive straight for the animatronics. The safety video is all new and has a lot of humor to it. A lot of jokes, a lot of little, you know, fun things to watch, a lot of Easter eggs. There are so many Easter eggs in the queue. You know, I called out a couple in my video. Eddie called out a couple in his video. But, like, there are a lot of Easter eggs in the queue, both to the original Verbolten, to Busch Gardens History, to Big Bad Wolf. Like, you just have to look for it. So spend some time in the queue, even if the ride's open, you know, like, no wait. Like, spend some time in the queue looking around, because the queue is – they spent just as much time in the queue as they did – maybe not, because, like, they didn't put a 43-foot tree in it. But they spent a lot of time in the queue, so definitely take the time to look at all the hidden elements in it. There's a lot of stuff in there. There's some stuff that's returning, but there's also a lot of new stuff. And the gift shop. Make sure to spend some time in the gift shop at the end, because behind the register, there's a whole bunch of portraits that have Easter eggs to, again, other Busch Gardens elements. Frau Hexel in her youth, maybe she may have had a thing with King Ludwig from Dark Coaster. You know, like there's hints in there that are definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, and even though they didn't add a 43-foot tree in the queue, Frau Hexel cast a 43-foot shadow because she is so amazing. I was so happy to finally get in that first contact with her. It's a super unique experience, especially for, not to say I think it sounds weird if you say the level of park, because it kind of makes it seem like, you know, Busch Gardens isn't top level, but you don't expect that type of theming from a Busch Gardens type park. But that being said, it feels like more and more year over year, every opportunity that they get, they're scratching more at that Universal Disney's of the world, you know, and they're attempting to get better and better.
Well, you know, that's something that Busch Gardens, you know, when Busch Gardens had rides like Questor and Dark Castle, I think a lot of people saw them, you know, really taking a step towards that level, whether it was Universal Studios. Because, like, Dark Castle, when it first opened, was basically the Spider-Man ride at Universal Studios Islands of Adventure, but, like, with these cool additional elements, thematic elements that made it, like, truly, like, an A-list park-level ride. Questor ages ago, but also literally had animatronics in the queue. It was basically Star Tours, for anyone who's not old enough to remember Questor. It was basically Star Tours. There have been, you know, things like that in the past of Busch Gardens, but it's been a while since they've had this level of investment in theming in a ride. Verbolten is, they continue with every year, every new ride to step up the element. And I'd say the queue for Verbolten is indicative of hopefully, you know, more in the future, because it was worth waiting for. But Eddie,
time for the ride.
You wrote it. Tell us about your experience.
Okay, so undeterred, I returned the next day. Exhausted this weekend, a lot of travel. Busch Gardens isn't necessarily close, but it's much closer than it is for Paul. I made my way over to Busch Gardens for the past member preview. Thank you to all you guys that said hi. It was really cool getting to spend some time with you guys in the line. But some of the things that I got to experience that outside of obviously riding the ride that wasn't available during the VIP event was some of the onboard audio, not the onboard audio, but the audio cues during boarding. They still have a similar, like, if if you're not riding at this time, take a step behind the line. The train is now boarding or whatever it used to be, but it's not exactly the same. It kind of plays with hinting at it's almost going to be the same. And then Frau Hexel says something different, and then she goes, ah, there we go. I got it. You know, like kind of hinting towards she attempted it, but it wasn't necessarily it. So that was fun to see. Also, it was fun to watch the monitors that show up as windows play the different scenes that go through, because there's a lot of them. But then we finally got on the ride. And if you're a fan of Verbolten, the original Verbolten, you will not be disappointed. The ride, as far as the layout, maintains itself exactly the same. But one of the things that got me super excited right off the jump is as you pass that big sign, the arrow at the top actually moves. So you know how we saw the marketing video and everything for Verbolten Forbidden Turn, where how you end up making that turn is the gnome moves the sign, the arrow, yeah, and you end up going right instead of left, even though they tell you the whole entire time, don't go right. And I think that's a small touch, but something very cool, because you have the false track going left and then the actual track going right, and the arrow moves just as you pass by it, pointing you down the right way. I guess the wrong way, but the right way.
Yes, the forbidden way.
The forbidden. And then you make your way into the building. First little thing that I kind of am still, I'm not too sure of, is the music, right? I will agree with some people. The horror element, I wanted a little bit more. I don't know about you, Paul, if you've when watching the POV. The music. Do you like the music?
I like the music, actually.
Do you? It's not bad. It's not bad. Maybe it's just something that needs to grow on me. But I kind of, I don't know. Maybe it's just the nostalgia of the more horror foresty sounds that I'm missing. But the music, I think it's good. But I just haven't gotten acclimated to it, I guess I would say. But then once you get to that big reveal with the tree, I didn't know how they were going to pull that off, if we were actually going to be going through the mouth of the tree, and it happens. And you have to be real quick if you want to see the bug, because the V-bug is right as you
it
exit.
It flies by. Yeah, as you right. Yeah. Yeah, it's so fast. I saw it in the video. Like, wow, okay, the tree, you got to really keep an eye out for it, because it flies by. Or by it, I guess.
Yeah, you will easily miss it. And for those who have seen the POVs that are out right now, there is still things that are missing. I think there's definitely audio cues that are going to be added in the next couple weeks. So for those of you who haven't ridden and want to get the ride at its full potential, you're probably doing yourself a favor by waiting a week or two. I think by...
Actually, like what I would say is... wait until mid. If you don't have plans to go yet, or you're trying to figure out when to go, I would recommend going after mid-June. Because I think around middle of June is when, now, you know, obviously the ride operates, but much like the Big Bad Wolf, there will continue to be tweaks and finishing touches implemented over these next few weeks for the full experience. So I would recommend like sometime middle of June or after, because then you'll get the full experience. Like Eddie said, they're still tweaking things like timing on audio, fog effects. We know there will be fog effects as part of the ride. They were not running as part of the opening weekend, at least that I saw. So, you know, that stuff will come. So it'll come in time.
Yeah, there's a fog effect that very notably was all over Facebook before the ride even had the VIP event in the beginning of the launch. And that was not on when we rode. And it hasn't been on in any of the POVs that I've watched. So that's something that I think is definitely going to add to the experience, you know, because it gives you like this smoke wall that you're going to like zoom through on your first launch. And then you get to the drop element, which those of us who have ridden it all know, and hopefully... if you haven't ridden it, there's no drop element in this ride, just FYI. But, you know, you get to that part and you run into your next Fra Hexel. I think that's another element that's going to be tweaked a little bit is Fra Hexel right before for the drop. She does have movements, but I think right now they're working on those movements for her. And this is, I have no true insight. I'm just going off of what I'm observing. And then from there on, from the exit of the show building, you're basically going through Verbolten as it always been. But I gotta say, the show building definitely did impress. That tree will not leave you without making its impact. I think the tree is exceptional. The music does help the experience. I just don't know that I've gotten accustomed to the difference. I remember like the wind sounds and what sounds like you're in a forest, right? That's not necessarily the feel anymore. And I think that's going to take a little bit of an adjustment. And I think for those of you that are hardcore fans of the old Verbolten, take that into consideration. Don't go into this and say, oh, I just missed the old audio. There's going to be an acclimating period, but the ride itself is spectacular.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks great. I look forward to riding it just like the rest of you do. I think the elements that they've added, you know, I've seen your POV. I've seen a bunch of POVs. I think for me, the most impressive element, even beyond the Frau Hexel animatronic, I'm talking in the ride itself, even beyond the Frau Hexel animatronic and the additions they've made to the drop, which are all very impressive, that tree is truly breathtaking. And I know you see it with the lights off when you ride the ride, but with the lights on, you know, when we first walked into that building, we all were just like, whoa, like it is way bigger and way more impressive than I think anyone anticipated. It is a great, great addition to the ride. And despite anything else that they've added or taken away, I think the tree is such an impressive element. That's hard to beat.
Yeah. You know what? One thing, it could be that this is an element that they're meaning to have. It's just not working. But I think as you exit the tree, the V-Bug should flash its lights and honk at you. Like a jump.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that would be a nice little additional touch and also make it so that people notice the V-Bug a little bit more. Cause you really do. You really have to like be aware of it. I knew that it was there. So I looked over cause I wanted to experience it, but I think a lot of people may have just flown right by it without even noticing that the V-Bug was in there. If anybody was wondering where it went and didn't pay attention, would think that it actually wasn't reincorporated into the new ride.
Yeah. So it's on the left. So when you go through the tree, it'll be on your left. Keep an eye out for it.
Yeah.
But if you've ridden Verbolten Forbidden Turn already, let us know your thoughts down in the comments below. If you haven't ridden it yet, let us know when you're planning on riding it, what you're most looking forward to, you know, what your favorite part of this video was. Leave us a comment down below. We love to hear from you guys. Love to talk to you. And we are excited to discuss what comes next. And so, Eddie, with you know, Verbolten Forbidden Turn, we've been tracking it for many months now. It's here. It's open. You know, what comes next for us is obviously we are in rampant speculation season and announcement season, I should say. Announcement season for Howl-O-Scream, Halloween Horror Nights. So we'll be talking about that in our next episodes. We'll obviously be, you know, as I already mentioned, our in theory, our next episode, video only, will be us sampling and ranking all the restaurants at Busch Gardens Williamsburg. And then we'll talk about what could be coming next to Busch Gardens Williamsburg, right? We'll probably get an announcement, probably in the fall, about what's coming later or what's coming in 2027 to Busch Gardens Williamsburg, if anything. So we'll talk a little bit about what we think that may be or what may be coming in the years beyond. So we'll talk about that in one of our future episodes. So lots of stuff coming. So if you want to see that, make sure to give us a thumbs up on this episode. It lets us know that you like this podcast. And while you're down there, hit the subscribe button, notification bell, so that you are notified when we release upcoming episodes of our podcast. Eddie, any final thoughts before we wrap this thing up?
Yes. One final thought. For those of you who stuck around till the end, I want to say back to the efforts Busch Gardens is putting into improving and thematic elements. I think these rides need our support for them to continue to deliver. So if we want that next ride in 2027, to take that next step in the thematic elements, we need to go out there and ride Verbolten.
There is these last 3 years, these last, I mean, really quite a few years, we've really eaten well, you know, with Busch Gardens adding additional elements to the park. And I'm not just talking about, like, since the public health emergency, I think we've had consistent new things coming to the park every year. And we can't say that about every park. Not every park gets something new every single year in the United States. And so the fact that Busch Gardens Williamsburg is doing something pretty significant, right? Again, I'm not just talking a new funnel cake, but we also get those. But, you know, I'm talking literally new experiences, new rides, things like that. It's pretty significant and it's pretty awesome. So I'm looking forward to seeing and talking about what comes next and sharing with all of you guys.
That's it.
Thank you for watching. We will see you in the next one.
Deuces.